You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. Burgers are best fresh from the grill. Well, more specifically, burgers with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. And what backyard barbecue is complete without some potato salad? Not just any potato salad, of course. Potato salad highlights the rich, creamy goodness of Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. So if you want to take your barbecue season to the next level, stock up on Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. For great recipe ideas, visit hellmanns.com.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Si habla Espanol.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis. In a virtual room filled with some heroes, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. You know, boys, it's St. Patrick's Day. It is after 7 p.m. on the West Coast, after 10 p.m. back East. And happy St. Patrick's Day to our many Irish listeners and all the Irish American listeners on this side of the pond, including my mom. But St. Patrick's Day also lines up with the first day of March Madness. And that's fun. And usually this is a situation where I go out to a local tavern and I have a couple drinks. I'll have a couple beers. Maybe Daddy has a Tito's. I watch college hoops in the sunshine. Day drinking can't beat it. And yet Deshaun Watson, as is his way, ruined everything.
As if we need another reason to be annoyed by this man. Yes, he stopped Dan from going third person and calling himself Daddy in the sun all day.
He didn't stop me.
Oh, he didn't. Couldn't stop me. Okay, good. Oh, okay, that's good.
No, but we waited out the big announcement. It never came. And the latest reporting is that it might not come until the weekend or perhaps after that. But I have a theory about that, by the way. The old, you know, the famous Friday bad news dump. That there's a team out there that understands they're going to get savaged for this. So they're going to, like, let's say about 5 o'clock Eastern tomorrow is when it drops. That's a theory that I'm working under right now. I know they're saying through the weekend, but how about the most epic Friday bad news drop of all time?
I don't think that will save them from being savaged, but I think that your theory is on point. If anything, they, like, a team is going to have to try to minimize this to some degree, but I don't think there is so much annoyance, or maybe I'm just projecting that this whole situation hijacked my day too. By the way, I also don't mind going out on St. Patrick's Day and watching basketball and having a beer.
Mark famously loves the NCAA tournament.
I could care less about the tournament.
Everyone else in the newsroom enjoying the basketball games than Mark Sessler.
That part of it does not exist. But I mean, the idea that this entire day was hijacked by this situation is appalling to me.
Hey, here's the good news. I'm going to try to spin it forward here. Maybe a little luck of the Irish that by waiting it out, we ended up getting another massive trade that we get to talk about. So we told you 4 shows were coming if we had a reason to do a 4th show. So you might be, if you're in a different part of the world, you wake up to this show, and that's nice. Or if you're a night owl like Sessler who doesn't sleep, he's a borderline vampire, hot vampire, I'll say, but a vampire, you get to enjoy this in the middle of the night. But we're going to talk about big news, a massive trade of a superstar wide receiver. the latest with the Cleveland Browns, Mark, a future Hall of Famer going from Los Angeles to Western New York. Let's get into it. Let's start with the Devontae Adams trade. Yeah, how about that? Hot vampire, Mark. A little nice compliment to throw your way.
That's one of the nicest things that anyone has ever said to me. So I appreciate it.
You need it. You need it today, buddy. So I'm gonna be nice, you know?
I want a Photoshop either from, you know, our excellent coworker Randy. Or a listener, because, you know, it is late. I don't know if Randy's going to be able to knock this Photoshop out in time. But, yeah, like maybe Mark is the next Twilight guy. You know, Pattinson's right. Had his run. Mark,
well, I would say only if you are very skilled at Photoshop. I don't want like a C-minus version of this. If you are
If you're following our
like
social
Twilight,
media.
But for mid-40s guys.
Yeah, like Chavez has been knocking out of the park with his Photoshop skills. But no, like Pattinson, of course, is the new Batman, and that movie's apparently very good. I'm going to check that one out. So he's moved out of that phase of stardom. So we do need a new matinee idol for the teen set. So maybe it is you, Mark.
Yeah, definitely get a tired 48-year-old who couldn't be more, you know, worn out by Terra Firma.
Now,
this
is what we're going to do. We're going to give you the fangs. And then we're going to do the Irishman, speaking of St. Patrick's Day, the Scorsese movie where they de-aged Pesci and De Niro. We're going to de-age the fuck out of you. And we're going to get you down to about 17 years old.
We don't even need to. Look at this smooth
forehead
on him. Yeah.
No, he looks great. As he's a hot vampire right now. But I'm saying if we want him to, you know, accurately take the matinee idol,
right?
We got to de-age him about 25 to 30 years.
A little bit of work. Yes.
Might have
a little
to get
bit
him
of
on
work.
Some,
the Packers
some,
have to do
some HGH or something, you know, too.
The Packers have a little bit of work to do to rebuild their wide receiver room after the stunning, and I'll go stunning, and I think you guys will agree, announcement or news that Devontae Adams is being sent to the Raiders in exchange for a first-round pick and a second-round pick in the 2022 NFL draft. Okay, so right after that deal goes through, Adams, who was on the franchise tag, made it clear to Green Bay he was not interested in playing on the franchise tag. So he signed a new 5-year, $141.25 million contract with the Raiders. That makes him the highest paid wideout in the league. By the way, that's not even the craziest contract I've heard in the last 48 hours. We'll get to that in a little bit. Anyway, a massive deal for Adams, who statistically, you could say who you love with more from a skill set standpoint, but Adams has been better than anybody in football for close to a decade now. And now at age 29, he leaves Aaron Rodgers. And Greg, he leaves by choice. It was the Packers were willing to pony up the money, but reportedly he wanted to play with Derek Carr instead. Bombshells galore here.
It's crazy. I'm like always looking for the story behind the story. And oh, wow, he's wanting to leave Aaron Rodgers and wants to leave like a very successful situation. But he did play with Derek Carr. He's boys with Derek Carr. And he has a house in Las Vegas, Mark pointed out to me before the show. So that does make sense. He's a young man. Which place sounds a little more fun to live in? I would go with Las Vegas probably, and he would probably agree with it, his ties there, but it is
crazy. Oh, Greg would want to go to the gambling mecca? Stunner.
It's just crazy because he's at his peak. And, I mean, they got fair enough value for him, a 1 and a 2. That's for a wide receiver. That doesn't happen. That's fair. And they clear up some cap space. But it's incredible to me that Aaron Rodgers is returning to a team right now that has Alan Lazard as their number one. I think he's restricted, but he'll be back. Valdez Scantling's a free agent. Now you freed up some money if you do want to bring him back. They did bring back Randall Cobb. Amari Rodgers is sticking around. And this team that we kind of assumed was going to be the 1B to the Rams favorite in the NFC just took a big hit. This is not just any other receiver. It's not Greg Jennings leaving. It's not Donald Driver leaving. Like, this is Devontae Adams, the best receiver in the league.
And the facts around it, I find, are as stunning as the move itself, that while Aaron Rodgers was negotiating his contract, that he knew, according to our reporting from Ian Rappaport, that Devontae Adams would never play again for the team. And despite what he talked about and said about Devontae Adams on the Pat McAfee show just a couple weeks ago, that he knew that, and that Devontae Adams was offered an equal contract by Green Bay and decided, nope, I'd rather go play with Derek Carr, who I think everyone on earth can agree is a good quarterback, but obviously a lesser offering than Aaron Rodgers. And the Packers suddenly, this whole offseason plan that seemed to have, after so much drama, crescendo into a scenario where they are, as Greg said, the 1B to the NFC darlings, now they look lost to me. I mean, they look lost because even with Devontae Adams, they couldn't win playoff games.
I'm not ready to count out the Packers.
Oh, yeah.
And this is why. Because you could, there's a lot of things you could say about what Brian Gutekunst has done in recent years to build that team into a contender. But the one position group where he always kind of skated by on, it seems, was wide receiver. And it was Devontae Adams, this all-world producer who had this great bond with Rodgers, and they just put up enough production to count for two receivers. And then that made up for a back end of the wide receiver group that was always hit or miss. I mean, whether it was MVS or Alan Lazard, you name the guy in there, and there's been a lot of forgettable players. Maybe the Packers and Gutekunst see this as an opportunity to pivot and change how they're setting up this offense. And maybe you bring in some guys that are, there's, we were talking about before the show, that Jarvis Landry's out there. You have Odell out there, especially with Allen Robinson now finding a home in Los Angeles. You have now an extra first round pick. Maybe you bring in a wide receiver you're in love with, and all of a sudden you have a nice balanced unit. It's still, though, even playing it positive there, a massive roll of the dice for a team that's in win now mode.
It is, but I love this draft class. You know, according to Daniel Jeremiah, everyone else at the wide receiver position, you know, there's still Packers fans that think, look, if we had drafted T. Higgins instead of Jordan Love, we might have won some of those playoff games. But you can make up for Adams' loss somewhat with a draft pick or two and in free agency. And quarterbacks make receivers. Devontae Adams is special, but the numbers are crazy. He's making $28 million a year, which doesn't just reset the wide receiver market. It's just like, It's on another planet. Now, none of the guaranteed money as of our taping has been reporting, which is usually very telling, that it's going to be heavily backloaded. It'll probably be more like a three-year deal, and we'll have to see where the guarantees are. Maybe it's like a 3 for $66 million, and he's making 22 per. Either way, that's like a ton for a wide receiver, and they want to put it elsewhere, but it's really counting on Aaron Rodgers to make the players around him better. And for Derek Carr, it's just like, it's amazing. I just
now
can't,
or never.
Yeah, now we know Derek Carr's not going anywhere, right? I guess if there was any doubt in anyone's mind, it would seem insane that Derek Carr could be available now. And that's just like an incredibly fun offseason that the Raiders have had under Josh McDaniels, surprisingly, that you bring in Chandler Jones and you bring in Devontae Adams. Very un-Bill Belichick-like, and this AFC West just seems insanely loaded right now.
I love it. I love what the Raiders did here, because you could have looked at what's going on with the Chargers and, of course, the Broncos now. With Russell Wilson and, of course, the Chiefs, who are an absolute superpower. And they could have said, well, maybe we should sit this out for a couple of years. This division's too hot, and we might be better off reloading and then, you know, trying to rise up in a few years. But instead, they've gone the other direction and saying, we could do it too. We can rise up. We could become a superpower. And it's just, yeah, I can't remember a year where you go into the season and you're like, man, this division, when you look at the whole division top to bottom, is going to be so fun to watch. All those division matchups,
and
all
they play the NFC
games.
West out of division. So
ooh, dog it.
Not like the NFC West maybe isn't quite as loaded as it was a year ago, but those matchups are going to be all over primetime too. Those are awesome.
All right, let's move on. The Raiders, we're a Super Bowl contender. That's what they're saying. Whether you believe it or not, that's
well,
fair.
There's about 12 of them in the AFC, so
right. Last year, going into the season, the Browns fashioned themselves a Super Bowl contender. It didn't work out, obviously, and now here we are in a very sticky situation at quarterback, because we talked about it on yesterday's show with Baker, his goodbye Instagram. Then it becomes public. The Browns are after Deshaun Watson. They're in the sweepstakes. Deshaun says, thanks, I'm cool. And then today's events. We learned that Baker Mayfield has requested a trade after NFL Network's Mike Garafolo reported the Browns still view Baker as their starter. and Baker refused an offer to meet with Browns brass after the Deshaun Watson situation. So now the Browns are saying, we don't want to trade you. We're refusing the request. Baker saying, get me out of here. Josina Anderson reports the Seahawks have discussed exploring a trade for Baker Mayfield. That makes a lot of sense. And Mark, at the end of the day, this feels very sloppy and unhinged, just like we kind of predicted yesterday.
Right. If you're the Cleveland Browns, you're right back in the mess. You're right back where you were for so long. And I am hearing from so many different Browns fans that, you know, we all get that Andrew Berry is a skilled general manager. I don't doubt. But that, no, don't worry. He's got a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, and a plan D. But there aren't A, B, C, and D options here. I mean, I guess at some point, you know, you've done this with Baker Mayfield. You've handled this in a sloppy fashion. And here's the thing. Everyone's like, oh, well, that, you know, the, why isn't he acting like Matt Ryan and, you know, calmly and placidly just accepting that they were courting a different quarterback and maybe he'll start or not? Well, we all know who Baker Mayfield is. Like, he operates off of grudges, off of slights. I mean, I operate that way. Don't some of us operate that way at times? Like, you're fueled by certain things. We know that about him. He wasn't going to handle...
Who are you spiteful towards right now or over the years?
I am spiteful towards roughly 56 or 57 people / operations / movements. I'm very annoyed at the moment.
I'm annoyed
this whole
now.
Thing to me is a huge mess. And there's no great way out of this. There's no great way out. I don't think if you're a Browns fan, you're that excited about the fact that you're going to maybe have to slide in Jimmy G, who can't throw till July, or Matt Ryan, who's got another year or two left. It's a mess. And this team that did have it in theory, by the way, a Super Bowl window, not in reality, it is shutting by the minute. They have positional needs all over the place. They've botched a quest for the most important position in sports. They've disenfranchised half their fan base, and they're coming out of it acting like they're smarter than everyone. No, you're not.
Well, I think going after Watson is the cardinal sin here, and failing too, failing quickly. You know, they ultimately were the first team knocked out of it. We'll talk Watson, but it's down to two there. It sounds like the Panthers are out of it too. But I was so surprised by the report that they were willing and wanted to send the team plane down. Weirdly, in all this, that was the most surprising thing that I couldn't quite like fit my narrative into, because my narrative is that they do that meeting with Deshaun Watson, eyes wide open, understanding what Baker Mayfield could feel and how he could react, understanding the landscape of quarterbacks that are out there, and you might not get Deshaun Watson, and walking into that notion thinking, we're fine if we don't have Baker Mayfield. In fact, we don't really expect to keep Baker Mayfield. And then even when Mike Garofalo immediately reported that, they said, no, that's cool. We don't want to, we're not going to trade you. We're not going to honor your request. Even that I could kind of explain like, well, that makes sense because you want to be the one that's in control here. Scott Pioli was on NFL Network talking about it, saying like, they want to hold the leverage. They, you know, they want to calm the situation down as much as possible. And even in a scenario where they're fully anticipating that he gets traded, that's sort of the move in the moment because they're just trying to calm this down. It doesn't help anything to be like, okay, now he's up for grabs. Let's do that behind closed doors. But the idea that they were going to send the plane with Jimmy Haslam on it over to like kiss the ring of Baker, that confuses me, and that makes me think they have played this poorly and that they do kind of want to keep Baker instead of what's behind door number two. I'm confused, but that aspect of it really makes you wonder like how they are handling the personal side of it. Because if they just kind of had the door closed to Baker and they're treating him a little poorly, like that makes more sense to me than what's going on right now.
I agree, because I think it's like, Mark, what you said, part of it is knowing who your people are and knowing what the personality type of your quarterback. One of the reasons why he's found great success is that chip on his shoulder and how he takes slights personally. And to think that you could kind of get the toothpaste back in the tube here, I just think it's naive. And, you know, at this point, it's too far gone. And I think we wondered yesterday, what happens if Watson says no? And I don't think anybody can be surprised that Watson isn't choosing the Cleveland Browns. There's been so much connecting him to wanting to be in the South or closer to where he grew up. Like, Cleveland, Ohio never felt like a Deshaun Watson destination. And now they're left scrambling back to Baker potentially, and that's just probably not going to take. So they have put themselves in a very awkward position, and now we have to see how they can try to fix this, because it's not going to be easy to fix, Mark.
I don't think it's fixed this year, no matter what. I mean, it's, look, whatever happens, the scenario that unfolds and what we're witnessing come, you know, week one will be the far drastically lesser option of what they dreamt up, whoever they is, because I think number one, this is my theory, that the adult in the room comment came from the highest possible source in the Browns building. I think it came from ownership. And it probably put the front office and the rest of this crew into a scenario they didn't love, because that's not been their MO. There hasn't been a lot of whispers and chatter and negative talk coming out of the Andrew Berry front office. It's been the opposite. And I think we all understood that this relationship was fractured, but there weren't a lot of whisper campaigns and negative reports until that happened. And that pivoted everything. And I think no matter what they came to an agreement with Baker Mayfield, saying we're going to look for maybe one guy or two guys out there, an Aaron Rodgers figure, Russell Wilson. And at Baker, I still don't think that would have sat well with him. But then to hear these reports come out about he's not an adult, he's not this or that, the relationship was too far gone. So whatever their plan B was does not exist now. And I don't think, we are looking around the league, the Colts know this, other teams know this, there is no great plan B. So now you're the team in the AFC North going into the season with the plan you didn't plan to have, and you're probably going to get fractured for it even further than we see today. Mm.
I like their roster, though. I like their offensive line. I like their running backs. I like their defense for the most part. I don't think they're too far gone. I think if you just pick a quarterback that's out there, Jimmy G, Jameis, whatever, I don't think it's that different than Baker Mayfield in terms of their outlook. Yeah, it's probably a borderline playoff team. Like, you're probably not winning the Super Bowl, but I don't think it's that different than Baker. And I actually do think Baker still has value. If Carson Wentz can get 2 third-round picks, I just don't buy that Baker doesn't have value here from a team like Seattle, and that maybe some of this putting the toothpaste back in the tube is just trying to set this up, because it might not happen till the draft. We might be talking about this for a while. Who knows? Maybe someone does act quickly. The teams that make the most sense are Seattle, Carolina, and Indianapolis. In theory, for some reason, I don't see Indianapolis as much, but I think Seattle and Carolina could be motivated to do that. And they need quarterbacks badly. They're desperate. And if Wentz is worth 2/3, I guess you can't just build off of that. Like, Baker Mayfield's worth a 2nd-round pick, isn't he? And if, unless the Browns are trying to like extract blood from a stone here, they're not getting 2 firsts. They're not getting 1 first for Baker Mayfield. But if they're just ready to like say goodbye and see what's behind door number 2, I think they can get a pick for him. And I kind of think that's what'll happen eventually.
Maybe the Jets Darnold deal, something like that.
Right. And obviously,
2nd and a like, 4th, something like that.
Right.
I'm gonna be seeing this through a more negative lens or a more frustrated lens than the next person. But even if they have a good roster, there's no question that they're gonna go into the season with a fair roster and a half-baked quarterback. And in the AFC, in this AFC, in the NFC, you're fine. You probably grab a playoff spot with that. In this AFC, check you later. And by the way, like an uninspiring entrance into the season. The energy that was good around this team is gone. And in my heart, it's gone.
Amari Cooper. You got that?
I don't care.
I think Baker's a little bit of a half-baked quarterback. That's just my like evaluation.
Half-baker. Nailed it.
He's totally imperfect. I get that.
I think he's limited.
Browns or whoever it might be trying to smear Baker out the door for being petulant and a brat. It's like, no, bro, I'm telling you, this is who he was. He always was this guy. So I think it's a little unfair to say because he's not doing the Jimmy Garoppolo thing makes him a bad guy here. I think that there could be some PR assassination attempts going on with Baker. Mark, I do always, I've known you for years, well over a decade now, and I do always use your Twitter as a way to get behind those blue eyes. And I just want to share a tweet that you sent. I guess it was yesterday. My day won't be shaped by... You know what? I'm not capable. I'm not worthy of reading this tweet, but I do know somebody who is.
My day won't be shaped by Browns news ever again. Total XGF material. Go figure it out for yourself. Keep scorching the earth. My life is new.
The great I am Zumwalt.
Yeah. Jason Zumwalt. Wow. That was today. That was mere hours ago. This has been the longest football-filled day of my entire life. I am done with the Cleveland Browns.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
I'm not trying to be a drama queen. I'm not. Like, I simply come to this comfortable conclusion. And some of my tweets are just my way to indicate that I'm out on this.
It's like another tweet from today?
Yeah.
I fell for the Browns when I was young. I am not young anymore.
Is that a real tweet? That's amazing.
Yes, that's a real tweet.
They're all real. Look at,
I've been following this team for 3.5 decades, and I honestly think that I have just come to a comfortable place where I am watching them sail off into the distance, and I feel totally at peace with it. It's just not, I know it's like, oh, I keep it. Oh, you'll be back in week two when they're 1-1. Like, I'll be here covering football, but I won't be the same person. Like, it's changed, and I can't explain it. I just don't need to. It's not a part of my life anymore.
I know you well enough, Mark, and I know obviously the history of the Browns, and especially the last 5 years of the Browns, and at a much lesser level with Sam Darnold, I connect with you that he was identified. He's the guy. Like, he was the one that's going to take you out of the darkness. And now that it's ending, like, the same old.
And he sort of did.
Same old. It's just like that. I understand that makes it hurt even more. But, and I can't, I'm not saying this to antagonize you.
Right.
I don't believe you. You will be back because they are you and you are them. I think Nick Wessling tweeted at you in reply, like, it's too late. Like, you can't get out. And that's, I think that's right. Unfortunately, the same reason I'm wearing a Jets shirt and they're about 50 games under 500 over the last 5 years. There's no way out. Once you're in, you're in.
Time will tell.
Let's take a break.
I do believe you. Wait, can we, there's no more Zumwalt tweets, right? Because I think one tweet to me personally described the day more better than any. So I'm just going to read that one. Hashtag female assassin.
Look, I hit my wall when I tweeted that. I hit my wall because it's like, I don't even know what I'm watching or seeing at this point anymore.
That, put it this way, Greg, if I had not been in contact with Jason, if I was in contact with Jason after that tweet was sent, I would have that. But I do have this, and then we're going to take a break.
Item. Kind of over it.
We'll be right back.
It's backyard barbecue season, so light up the charcoal or fire up the propane and throw some burgers on the grill. Some people like cheeseburgers, others like hamburgers, and people will argue about pickles until the cows come home. But there's one thing that needs no debate: Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. You add Hellmann's, and boom, next level burgers, it's that easy. And then there's the side that every backyard burger cries out for: potato salad. Do you want to know the best secret ingredient? You've probably already guessed it: Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. There are two kinds of potato salad: deliciously irresistible, rich and creamy potato salad, and potato salad made without Hellmann's. It's up to you what you want to serve. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
And I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. a lot to get to. Still, no news on Deshaun Watson, at least where he's playing for sure. I still predict a nice Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern news dump. But for the here and now, on 7:30 on the West Coast, we know this. The Browns, as we said, are out. The Panthers officially informed they are out of the trade mix for Deshaun Watson. Seattle previously was ruled out. So that leaves it down to two bitter, petty NFC South rivals, the Falcons and the Panthers. The Panthers obviously have been quarterback purgatory for years now. Sam Darnold has not worked out. Teddy Bridgewater didn't work out. We know the coaching staff there desperately needs an upgraded quarterback to stay alive beyond 2022. So they need Watson. The Saints, a team perpetually in salary cap hell. Obviously, Drew Brees gone. Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston, mixed results last year. And now they have an opportunity to start over. They've been clearing cap space like mad. And they are both waiting for the decision. It's all kind of gross, obviously, but this is where we are in a football place. Both teams begging for the phone to ring and Deshaun Watson or his agent to say, "You're mine."
Yeah, it's gross. I was sitting in the newsroom today, and it was like different reporters were hearing different things. Like, some people thought Atlanta's the one. He grew up outside of Atlanta. He has this connection to work. Dunn, who was probably in the meeting when he met the Falcons, his agent, there's ties there with his players and the agent, and there's that. And then there's the Saints, who reportedly had a second meeting in which the owner, Gail Benson, was involved. A second meeting would seem to indicate that would be a step ahead for them, and they're doing, it's just crazy that they're doing all this begging. Supposedly the trade terms have roughly been agreed to, but they might have to work out the particulars, and that could take some time. But it is confusing that our network said it was coming today at one point. They said it's expected today. It's expected imminently, and then they change it to today, and now we're looking at the weekend, which could support your theory, Dan, about that it would drop. And it's just crazy because I think there's huge segments of both fan bases. We know the Saints fans that don't want him. So it's almost like they're hoping to lose. Some of the fans are hoping not to get him. The team is hoping to win, and it's going to be, I think, very difficult for the team to thread the needle of, like, you know, celebrating in theory, bringing in this guy who still hasn't answered for all of his civil accusations and still will be facing that. And from everyone that we know who's connected in the league, is still expecting a suspension. I mean, a lengthy suspension is expected.
I mean, contrast it to the fact that we, you know, humorously and with a sense of enjoyment watched the Russell Wilson opening press conference, which was, if nothing less than a massive celebration for Broncos and Broncos fans. You know, I know some Broncos fans that talked about it being one of the best days they've had in years supporting that team. How do you even have an opening press conference with Deshaun Watson when he finally lands somewhere?
I don't think you do.
Well, I've been
surprised across every step of the process how the NFL has handled this, how these teams are handling this. I wouldn't be surprised if they have a huge blowout press conference either, whoever this goes with, just because, just like... Like, honestly, this talk that these teams want to meet Deshaun Watson face to face, and the idea that there are going to be hard questions asked. Hell no. It's the teams are basically genuflecting at the man and saying, please come join me. I'm not basing this on any inside reporting.
But Garofalo reported that, and he said he's felt the love. And he said to him from Watson's perspective that it felt good after this last year that all these people are showing him the love. The Athletic also reported that they didn't ask They haven't spoken to the lawyer of the civil suits at all. They aren't doing any investigating on their own in that way.
Well, and Greg on NFL Network today, I thought you stated it perfectly about the whole situation where there's this sense that it's let's go and press Deshaun Watson and the Falcons. You know, there was a reporting that the Falcons especially have embraced Deshaun Watson, have had people come out of the organizational woodwork to show him support. So it's exactly the opposite of how do we turn around, pivot, explain this to the large portion of fans that are going to not want this result. They're going to feel, you know, not listened to, disenfranchised. It is as messy a massive giant trade as the NFL has ever had. I don't know how they're going to handle it, but I would assume they're going to handle it poorly because this has been handled poorly, like a poison over everything from step A.
They're giving up 3 first round picks reportedly. That everything that's gone on apparently hasn't changed the trade terms at all. So if you're an Atlanta Falcons team, take a look at that roster. And then you give away 3 first-round picks, and you have Deshaun Watson. To me, that is a recipe for disaster and disappointment, certainly in the short term.
He was a ball boy for the Falcons once upon a time. He was a high school star at Georgia. So there is some obviously real ties there. Arthur Blank, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, is quite fond of Deshaun Watson, so there might be that pull. But you're right, I feel like that is, like, if he wants to be back where he was with the Texans, trying to do it all and running for his life and taking a beating and hanging in the pocket and putting up good numbers for a 9-8 team, go head to Atlanta. The Saints just make a lot more sense. And if I had a guess, I think that's where he ends up, but nobody knows. All right, let's get to other news. Western New York mentioned it. Von Miller now plays for the Bills. All right. Now, Greg, you are this is Greg season. It's Greggy season. We all know that. So you're going to help make sense of this to me. That Von Miller, formerly of the Rams, now signed a 6-year, $120 million contract with the Bills. This is a soon-to-be 33-year-old defender who appeared to be in decline before the trade to Los Angeles, and then he went off and was a stud in the playoffs. And I know, Greg, that there are dummy years and the guaranteed money is only so much, but at the same time, when you look at all these other deals that we're seeing around the league over the last few days, we're not seeing 6 for $120. So how did Von Miller get it?
Well, by wanting it to be this big number and helping the Bills spread out the money, because first of all, it's max value 120. I don't know what the base is, but there's a lot of incentives in there. It's really 2 for $32. Like, it's crazy. It took me a while to get to see the details, but it's 32 guaranteed. If this year didn't go well, for instance, it would be 2 for $32. They'd be on the hook for 32 over 2 years. It's probably 3 for $53, which is, you know, almost $18 million
a
year, which is a lot for Von Miller at that age.
With
but
injury
also,
issues.
It's basically what Chandler Jones made, right? And it's not too different from what Harold Landry made. The difference with him and Jones, I think, is he's probably getting that third year unless this season goes really poorly. But it's basically 3 for $53, and that is a huge risk, maybe even a bigger risk than the Rams took when they gave up 2 picks for him. The Rams certainly don't regret that trade, but I do think they regret losing Von Miller. I think they extended pretty far to try to keep him.
Well, I think the Rams' whole offseason plan was obviously, you know, bring everyone back, and they're 0 for 1 at this point. And it doesn't seem like they're bringing Odell Beckham back either, but we're fine. We'll get into why that probably won't happen. If you're the Bills, you're hoping that, you know, Denver and moving on from Von Miller, who's essentially become like a hired gun and a bounty hunter at this point, is going to be coming to the third team that is in a Super Bowl window and do what he did for the Rams. They would not have won a Super Bowl without him. I mean, what was it, 4 sacks in the postseason? I think 5 over his final 8 games in the regular season with Los Angeles. He was a perfect fit. They needed pass rushing help in the biggest way. I think he fits in this. I trust Sean McDermott as the head coach to get the most out of him. I just like the idea and the whole vibe of it. We'll see how long this lasts for him, because I don't trust that he's got 5 or 6 years left. But does he have 1? Like, all they need to do is go win a Super Bowl, and they are legit in that window. They're not deceiving themselves on that front. And so that's when you go add someone like Von Miller. We'll see if it works out.
You could feel it, the desperation of Buffalo. I don't mean desperation is a bad thing necessarily, but just we know how close we are. It's insane that we lost that game in Kansas City. We are an unbelievably strong team. There is no reason why we can't get over the hump if the Rams and Bengals are playing in the Super Bowl. We got to do this. So we're going to give out this crazy contract because it's all about the next year or two. So I get it. And I don't chagrin Von Miller. It seems like a fun football journey he's on. He made a career and a Hall of Fame career in Denver, won a ring, had a highly memorable Super Bowl MVP performance in Super Bowl 50. The Rams trade could not have gone better for both sides. And now he's going to be in one of the great in terms of fan bases and vibes for a loaded team again. He's doing the thing. He's on the football journey.
It's cool. I mean, he could be the first. I don't think anyone's ever won three Super Bowls with three different teams. Someone could check that for me. Maybe that's wrong, but I don't think that's
Grave
ever happened.
Digger. Have a homework assignment.
I also love, like, they're giving up a lot, and it's risky. It is like kind of an all-in move. But I think if you look at it in the context of the other things they've done this offseason, okay, they signed Tim Settle, who's this kind of underrated guy from Washington. Daquan Jones, another underrated guy from Tennessee for low money. Jerry Hughes and Mario Addison, who both have been making a lot of money, are off the books. They're free agents. And they got a lot of production out of those guys. And those guys are older than Von Miller. I mean, they got production out of them 34, 35 years old. I like what they did. They got Roger Saffold, another Titans guy they brought in. They brought back Isaiah McKenzie, and they cut Cole Beasley today. I like that. So it's all these like cheap, smart, Billsy type moves. And they make so many smart, cheap, Billsy types moves that I think you can let yourself splurge a little bit with a guy like Von Miller. They'll make it work.
Justin, before you jump in, I want to make a rule because I know you feel a little self-conscious about hitting your Gravedigger drop, but especially in this StreamYard setup, I want you to announce your presence with Gravedigger drop. And then the listener knows and we know you're about to come in with some heat. So why don't you want to try it right now? Gravedigger. Oh, there he is. Gravedigger. What's up, buddy?
So one player has won a Super Bowl with three different teams. Matt Millen, a former linebacker.
Ah.
Two with the Raiders, one with the Niners, and one with Washington.
Certainly not as a front office figure, that's for sure. But
yeah,
but
an incredible announcer, and what an incredible football life that he had to use.
Yeah, that man. He's lucky to be alive. The miracle of modern science. I think he had a heart replacement surgery.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the ropes there for a while, and now he's back in the game. Good for Matt Millen.
I'm now like kind of rooting for the Bills. It's taken me this long, but now I feel like it's almost like they deserve it. That's not how football usually works. But now, after last year, it took me this long for them to win me over. I feel like they deserve a Super Bowl, Buffalo.
That might be rooting for them too at this point.
You've given up the ghost on Belichick ever scaling the heights of his former greatness.
So I think it's more I'm just like accepting that the Bills are the Patriots' daddy. I mean, they literally didn't get a stop in two straight games. You didn't get a stop in two straight games.
When I asked that was bad.
Crazy.
Was connecting with Zumwalt on those Sessler drops, I told him what the voice we're going for here is Orson Welles in decline. So, but you're saying you're getting out on the Bill Belichick in decline era and just getting behind the Bills.
I'm not getting behind the Bills.
Well, I wouldn't call you all in, Greg.
No, I'm not all in on the Bills either. I just sort of like appreciate what they've done. It's pretty impressive, I think. And Josh Allen is impressive, and it's almost like, okay, it's they should be rewarded. Their fans should be rewarded.
You're already calling them the New England's daddy, though. I mean, I feel like they're the child that beat the dad in basketball, and now they got to go do it over and over.
I think it's almost underrated how completely ridiculous and embarrassing those two performances were for the Patriots and impressive for the Bills. It's wild.
Well, you two love to ignore the primetime game that I was obsessed with. I guess that game didn't count because it happened first.
Well, you were very passionate about that game, and we kind of let you off the hook a little bit. We didn't want to dwell on that.
Let me off the hook.
I think you announced that the Bills were over after that game, as I recall.
I had concerns. I've been wrong about 425 things. So
Samesies. All right. So the Rams lose Von Miller, but they gain Allen Robinson. Los Angeles signed the wide receiver, formerly of the Bears, to a 3-year, $46.5 million contract. Robinson was one of the more productive wide receivers in the league over the past 5 or 6 years. Despite playing with a bunch of stiffs at quarterback in Chicago, he kind of cratered last year with the rest of the Chicago offense. But obviously the Rams see him as a great bounce back candidate. It might spell the end of Odell Beckham's time in Los Angeles after only half a season. But you pair Allen Robinson with Cooper Kupp and a healthy Robert Woods. And Greggy, that is a nice way to begin a title defense on offense.
Yeah, you're cooking with gas. I love that. I love that because he's different. Or grease, yeah. Grease and gas.
Either. They're both
another crack at the apple here.
I would like I would like to cook with some grease and gas. Maybe I'll learn how to cook in my older years. That would be nice. He gives them something they don't have, which is a red zone vertical threat guy. And I guess Odell Beckham could have been that guy. Robinson's a little more natural of a fit, I think, for that as like a pure vertical receiver. It sounds like he dogged it a little bit last year. That was the buzz. He kind of just wanted to get to the offseason. He didn't come back from his hamstring injury. I don't care about that. Now he's going to be with the Rams. He got $15 million a year guaranteed the first 2 years. And the thing I love is they lost Von Miller. And then they're just like, all right, well, who's the next best premier player? Because, you know, Les Snead famously is like, F them draft picks. He's also like, F that cap space. I got no use for cap space. Cap space is the most overrated thing ever. Look at the Saints. They've somehow opened up $110 million in cap space to possibly fit in Watson and Teron Armstead and, you know, get their books in order. Like, cap space is stupid. Let's just get the next premier player that's available at a position that could help us, and they go get him, and they're going to go be contenders again.
It reminds me a little bit of the wide receiver version of Matthew Stafford. To Dan's point, we all know this about Allen Robinson. A bunch of ham and eggers have been throwing him passes since he came into the league with Jacksonville and then Chicago. It's been Blake Bortles, Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles, Andy Dalton, and yeah, Justin Fields last year. But it's like last year was a lost year for Robinson.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll finish the news.
It's backyard barbecue season, so light up the charcoal or fire up the propane and throw some burgers on the grill. Some people like cheeseburgers, others like hamburgers, and people will argue about pickles until the cows come home. But there's one thing that needs no debate: Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. You add Hellmann's and boom, next level burgers. It's that easy. And then there's the side that every backyard burger cries out for: potato salad. Do you want to know the best secret ingredient? You've probably already guessed it: Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. There are two kinds of potato salad: deliciously irresistible, rich and creamy potato salad, and potato salad made without Hellmann's. It's up to you what you want to serve. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
And I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like. Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Let's wrap this thing up because, the wifey, you know, St. Patrick's Day, ruined by Deshaun Watson on some level. However, the wifey made some shepherd's pie.
Okay.
It's sitting on the stove for the old Zeuser.
She's a good cook. I mean, Annalise
like
is a very good cook.
Having like a party in the bathroom right over there. I don't know if you hear him. I think he's in the bathroom.
He went to the bar to watch Indiana. It's a big University of Indiana hoops fan. All right, let's finish things out. The NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports Za'Darius Smith will not sign with the Ravens. Huh? So that's now happened twice. Randy Gregory jumped away from Dallas to go to Denver. And now Za'Darius Smith jumps away from the Ravens to hop back into the free agency pool. That was a four-year deal worth $35 million. And Greggy, there seems to be some weirdness around this.
Yeah, Mike Garofalo indicated like he doesn't have another team necessarily. He doesn't have another offer. The way he was talking about it, he had some skepticism whether Za'Darius Smith could replace this contract. I don't know. It's just a mystery. But Mark should enjoy it because he was just saying how well-run and great things are for the Ravens. And these two moves, him and Smith and Marcus Williams, is going to work out so well. And this is a little egg on the Ravens' face. They're not too happy about this.
Yeah, but see, I have no distaste for the Ravens anymore. I've unhooked from the whole thing.
Okay, now you like the Ravens. Well, this is good.
Yeah, I respect them.
That's part of this, too. You're quote unquote quitting the Browns, and you no longer dislike the Ravens.
Why do I need to dislike them at this point? I've removed hatred from my body and persona. I think it's a very healthy thing.
Myself also.
Now you did say earlier in the show you have 57 different people that you're feeling spiteful for.
Right, but it was 65 at the start of the day, so.
Six. All right, I'll leave it there. In other news, Miles Jack, speaking of the Steelers, he heads to Pittsburgh. 2 years, $16 million. He gets a new gig pretty quickly. 26 years old. He had some really nice years with Jacksonville. Of course, remember, speaking of the Patriots, when Miles Jack wasn't down on that fumble recovery that would have put Jacksonville in the Super Bowl, but instead they got robbed by the officials and by the NFL, giving Greggy yet another Super Bowl title in the process. But that's in the ancient past. Miles Jack now is no longer a Jaguar. He's a Steeler. And Mark, this feels like another move for one of the teams you used to have an issue with that will end up working beautifully.
Right, wonderful organization. I think quality signing. Miles Jack is one of those guys where, like, when I find out his age, that he's only 26, I'm like, what? I feel like we've been covering him for like 8 years, but I that's not the case. But I think Pittsburgh, in a sneaky way, because they still had an effective defense, they were junk against the run last year. I mean, DVOA wise, they were like 27th against the run. So Miles Jack helps there. I mean, they went and released Joe Schobert in a directly correlating move. I like it for Pittsburgh. Again, I'm not just saying this, but like the Ravens, when they bring these guys in, they typically seem to work out for the most part. I know that's not always been the case, but it's a good landing spot for Miles Jack.
There was like a 2-year period where he looked like one of the best young off-ball linebackers in the league. I'm not sure what happened, but he's still young. You would think that's a coaching issue. I kind of love the Steelers offseason so far. It's been really quiet, but James Daniels, like, tape heads love him. The guard from the Bears didn't have to pay him too much. They got a starting center in Mason Cole. I think they had another backup offensive lineman that they added, and then this in Miles Jack. Like, quietly, they added players that will be starting and helping them. It's a little Steelers-like, but they haven't had to go wild spending a ton of money.
All right, let's move on. Some notable cuts that went down in the last 24 hours. Fletcher Cox and the Eagles have a breakup, but it sounds like they're going to make up. It's just a salary situation, and they're going to get a deal that works better for team and player. Lyle Collins and the Cowboys are no more. They tried to move him in a trade. They tried to move Amari Cooper, found a taker in the Browns. Tried to move Collins, did not find a taker, which is interesting because I was just watching a cut up on Twitter about how he totally balled out against Nick Bosa in the playoffs. He's, you know, like less than 30 years old. I would take him on the Jets, and I'd trade Mekhi Becton out of town, but that's just
me. Put him in my top 20.
Let's go.
He's a healthy, above average starting right tackle. Those guys aren't usually available.
Well, the Bengals sound interested too, so yeah. Never know.
And Greg, you mentioned Cole Beasley cut after a disappointing year. Isaiah McKenzie is going to get his shot. That all makes sense.
Don't sign him, Bill. We don't need Cole Beasley. It's just like, come on.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, 8 o'clock the light. All right, Chris Godwin, he was on the franchise tag, but not for too long. Gets paid 3 for $60. Where is that in a Devontae Adams world?
It's below it. Certainly, it's the exact same that Mike Williams got, and it's good for the Bucks to reward a guy, even though he tore his ACL. They're still paying him.
Dolphins making a lot of small moves. Raheem Mostert, the running back, heads to the Dolphins. I feel like the Dolphins sign 47 running backs every year.
This is exactly what Kyle Shanahan did when he went to San Francisco. He imported players that he knew from Atlanta and previous stops. And Mike McDaniel's doing the same thing, as we predicted on the NFL broadcast, around the NFL broadcast show.
Which you could check out tomorrow, Friday, on NFL Network. Gronk says there is a, quote, very good chance I'm back with the Buccaneers. Should we be surprised, Greg?
No one is like a worse negotiator than Gronk. Seriously, he could have made like $100 million more than he has in his career. I feel bad almost.
He's making plenty of money on the side with other various things. This one, it says, re-sign Apple, sign Hurst. Greg, help me out with that one.
It might have been a copy and paste error there, but that was the Bengals day. They brought back Eli Apple. They signed Hayden Hurst. I think a nice replacement for Uzama. And yeah, they're going after Lyle Collins. I have a feeling they'll close that deal.
How could I forget? Eli Apple had a nice little Super Bowl until the end when it wasn't so nice. Anyway, the Jets sign another tight end. We're in business. The Jets sign from the Minnesota Vikings, Tyler Conklin, who's had a had a nice year with the Vikings last year, a breakout season. Jacob Johnson leaves New England. Sad face from Greggy.
Yeah, Jacob Johnson, one of Henry Hodgson's international pathway program heroes, gets a job with Josh McDaniels. But I'm going to miss him. I like seeing this guy didn't even know how to play football when he came in and turned into a great fullback.
And finally, Mr. Sessler, Blauhard Nation, rejoice. The Lions re-signed the quarterback, so he stays in the building.
I mean, I had a deal with the Lions where they were going to essentially let him go, then bring him back just so that we could have fresh content for our newsletter, and they were very compliant on that front.
That's nice. And that is 8 o'clock delight.
Your tight end, Tyler Conklin, followed me on Twitter last week. So that was exciting. That was exciting for me.
Saucy. Personally. It's always fun when a random NFL player follows you. I get a little nervous when it happens. Someone did that to me recently. And
Cam Hayward followed a bunch of us.
I think that was the name.
That usually tells me that they're getting close to entering the media foray. Although I don't know why Sean Payton follows me, although I do think he gave me the coronavirus 2 combines ago. So maybe that's where we link up. I'm not sure.
Maybe he's been trying to get in touch with you to apologize.
He was patient zero.
He seems like someone that would go out of his way to find someone to apologize for a wrongdoing in the past.
Yes, he does.
Maybe that's Kevin James, actually. Never mind. That is not. All right. We'll be back on television Friday, if you catch this in time. At 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, the Around the NFL broadcast, and we'll give you a nice rundown of the week that was. According to my theory, we will still not have the Deshaun Watson news for that television show, but maybe I'm wrong, and in which case you will get it on TV on Friday.
And it'll probably happen in the 1 hour between when we tape and when they air it.
Do we have to do a fifth podcast this week if Watson signs tomorrow morning?
Maybe a mini-sode if we're there, depending on
I don't know.
We love you guys, really, but this is a lot of content.
Yeah.
Pushing it big time. And instead of doing our typical end of show close, I will tell you to heed the call, but I do have one last Mark Sessler tweet to share. And again, I am not worthy to read the Sessler tweet, but the great Jason Zumwalt, noted Cardinals fan, is just think late period in deep in decline, even after he's doing the commercials era. Orson Welles,
okay.
Reading Mark Sessler tweets. Thank you to everybody for listening. We'll see you when we see you.
Played tennis with the family this evening and totally destroyed them on the court.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. Burgers are best fresh from the grill. Well, more specifically, burgers with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. And what backyard barbecue is complete without some potato salad? Not just any potato salad, of course. Potato salad highlights the rich, creamy goodness of Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. So if you want to take your barbecue season to the next level, stock up on Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellmann's.com.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.